This is All Things Considered on 91.9 FM WUOT. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. President Trump's 2016 campaign often reminded voters the nation's economy was in the tank. Not so. The U.S. is in the third longest period of economic expansion since the end of the Second World War, and another year of growth is predicted. Matt Murray is the lead author of an annual economic report to the governor. He and I spoke recently about the condition of the state and national economies.
2017 was a good year for the state economy. I think the most significant movement in the economy was the drop of the unemployment rate all the way down to 3% in September, a figure that was repeated in the month of October. That was probably the most significant sign. We had good job growth. We had good job growth in the manufacturing sector of the state economy. Personal income advanced. We expect 2018 to be another very good year. We do expect growth to slow a little bit. That's a reflection of the economy approaching what economists call full employment, with less capacity to accelerate the pace of economic growth. But 2018 should be another good year. Unemployment rate is likely to be stuck somewhere in the range of 3 to 3.1%. Not bad news to have it stuck there, but a sign again of the economy approaching what we call full employment. GDP growth on an inflation-adjusted basis for the state should be up by a little bit more than 2% for the year. So all in all, 2018, a good year on the heels of a good year in 2017.
You mentioned economic growth potentially slowing down. We're not talking about moving backwards. We're not talking about a deflationary kind of period for the economy. In fact, in your report, you write that at present, we're in the middle of the third longest period of economic expansion since the end of World War II. And in that sense, things are going really well. It's interesting because President Trump last year ran in part on a campaign that the economy was in the tank, that it was a disaster, that things were going really poorly. So if you would tell me a little bit about how then the national economy is going. I heard you say we're at near full capacity. It sounds like things are actually moving pretty well right now.
Yeah, things are moving well. And I think Trump's claims last year were just part of the rhetoric that you get around a presidential election campaign, because the figures were quite strong. The unemployment rate was trending down. Job growth on a monthly basis was moving forward at a healthy clip. So conditions were strong. Conditions haven't really changed markedly since then. We've seen the unemployment rate continue to move down, job growth slow a little bit, the stock market continue its strong ascent, but the stock market has been moving up now for many years. It's not a recent phenomenon. So the national economy is going to be running against some of the same constraints that the state economy is running up against. A tight labor market is the most obvious and visible constraint that we confront right now, with limited capacity for an acceleration of economic growth. It's not a bad thing. We're cruising along. We're cruising down the highway. We're going the speed limit. And all is well. All is healthy.
The tax overhaul bill that passed just before Christmas and was championed for quite some time by many Republicans in Congress, and including President Trump, was predicated in part on this premise that the economy needed to go faster, needed to build up more, that the GDP growth, the gross domestic product growth that we had seen at the 2% level needed to be higher, needed to be 3, 3.5, 4%. And by changing around the tax code and making the adjustments that are included in this tax overhaul plan, that would then happen, that suddenly the shackles would be taken off the economy. The point you make in this annual assessment is those shackles haven't been on for quite some time. It seems like maybe the predictions for growth then would be overly optimistic.
Yeah, I think that's correct, Brandon. We would expect economic growth at the national level and the state level to accelerate some in 2018 and 19 because of the tax cuts. We could see as much as 3, 4, 5 tenths of a percentage point of accelerated growth in GDP because of the tax cuts. But as you've noted, we do have these capacity constraints right now that are confronting the economy. And now is not the time to expect to see growth in excess of 3%. I would be very surprised if we see growth above 3%. We've seen that on a quarterly basis in the last couple of years on a few occasions. But generally, we seem to be stuck in this pattern of growth of 2 to 2.5, not bad growth, but well below the growth that we have has seen historically. Part of the underlying problem is that productivity growth has slowed down. And absent acceleration in productivity growth, it's going to be nigh impossible for economic growth to rise above 3% in 2018 or 2019.
Something else I'm curious about is a phenomenon that was pretty common throughout most of my lifetime, at least, is that the president, either fairly or not, gets a lot of credit when the economy is doing well and a lot of the blame when the economy is not, at least under these some of these broad national indicators. And we see that tracks pretty well. So a president that's presiding over a recession usually sees his or her approval ratings sink, and when the economy is doing well, they tend to go up. Right now, we have a divergence. We have a split where the economic indicators that you're talking about at the state and federal level are doing really well. The stock market you mentioned, which is something that President Trump often cites. The stock market is doing really well. GDP growth is doing about as well as could be hoped. Unemployment is low. But the president's approval ratings are not tracking along with that. They're actually still fairly low, especially for a president now coming into his second year in office. Typically, those approval ratings in the first year would be higher. So I wonder what, from an economist's perspective, you might be able to tell us that shows us why we're not seeing that correlation that usually exists.
Well, the Trump presidency is certainly unique in a lot of regards, and this is one of those facets that is truly unique. I think that the American people broadly recognize, because of the prominence of the Great Recession in our lives, that economic growth has been moving forward, started in the summer of 2009 at a slow pace, 2010 sluggish, but we have seen accelerated growth and sustained growth going back to the summer of 2009. And so I think the American people are broadly aware of the fact that the trends that are taking place are not necessarily associated with the Trump administration. They're not necessarily associated with the Obama administration. They're just part of this long-term trend. And then, of course, Trump comes to the table with his own negative baggage. And I think it's the combination of those two forces that could help explain why Trump has not gotten a boost from the relatively healthy economy that we're experiencing today.
John F. Kennedy famously said, "A rising tide lifts all boats." I think there are a lot of people in this country that would disagree with that statement, that the tide has been rising, but it hasn't been lifting all the boats, certainly not equally. And a point that's been made frequently, particularly by groups on the left or labor unions or worker advocacy groups, is that the wealth in this recovery has been going to the wealthy, and that we haven't seen much in the way of personal income rise for people that tend to be on the bottom of the employment totem pole, part-time workers, menial workers, manual labor workers, that we don't see their wages keeping up with this, which could help explain again why President Trump's approval ratings are divergent from the economy, is maybe people aren't seeing that in their pockets in a way that might have been true 40 or 50 years ago. If you would talk to us about where personal wages are and what kind of movement we may or may not be seeing there.
Step back a minute, Brandon. A very good observation. I think it's not been a recent phenomenon. In fact, it's been taking place now for decades, rising concentration of wealth in the United States. Then the Great Recession comes along, and low-income workers, poorly skilled workers, were hammered. They were devastated by the Great Recession. When the headline unemployment rate was 10%, the broader measure of unemployment that includes workers who are discouraged and have withdrawn from the workforce and workers who are underemployed, people who want to work more hours but can't, those unemployment rates were approaching 20%.
That's one out of five people.
Exactly, a dramatic number. And so while the headline unemployment rate has improved, these other measures, these broader measures, have also shown some improvement. There are fewer underemployed workers. There are fewer discouraged workers today. In fact, we have some preliminary evidence. Maybe we're drawing some of those discouraged workers back into the labor force. But to your point, we have not seen the earnings of workers, the wages and salaries of ordinary working Americans, show significant growth. We have in the last couple of months, the last quarter or so, we are finally seeing a little bit of upward movement. It's stymied economists, because normally when the unemployment rate falls, labor markets tighten. Employers have to dig harder to find workers. As they compete for workers, earnings go up. And we've not seen that pattern, only the early signs of that taking place. We don't have a good understanding as to why this has been the case. It could be that employers are too constrained by market forces to offer higher wages. It could be workers that were hammered down by the Great Recession and have endured long periods of unemployment or underemployment don't feel like they're in a position to garner a higher wage. Whatever the reason is, we have not seen significant movement in the average wage. We may very well see additional movement as a result of the tax cuts that may push increase demand in the economy, and that may increase the competition for workers and put some additional pressure on wages. Hopefully that's in the form of inflation-adjusted wages as opposed to simply higher wages that then are translated into higher prices that cause workers to demand higher wages and the cycle that we have not seen now since going back to the 1970s.
Matt Murray is the Associate Director of the Boyd Center for Business and Economic Research at the University of Tennessee. He's also the Project Director and Lead Author of the 2018 Economic Report to the Governor of the State of Tennessee. Dr. Murray, as always, a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you, Brandon. It was a pleasure to be with you.